All right, basic interviewing techniques. The very first one is appropriate dress. Now, most of us here in this room are relatively young. You're going to have a strike against you the moment you walk into the room. I can't believe they're letting children take care of me. So one of the ways you can help get around that is by the way you dress. So dress professionally. Now, you don't want to be too imposing, though. Sometimes research has shown that people feel intimidated by people who wear white coats, especially children. So if you work in a children's floor, pediatrics floor, typically not only do they not allow white coats, they also don't allow solid color scrubs because that's just too imposing for the kids. So you want to make sure that you dress professionally, but not like you're trying to intimidate. The next one is what we call the patient-centric part of the interview. This is where you give the patient a chance to talk. So how many of you have ever been to the doctor where at the end of the visit, you're like, I never got to say what I wanted to say. You know, we're done and I haven't yet talked. You know, you want to give the patient a chance to get what they want out. That's called the patient-centric portion of the interview. Typically, you're going to use open-ended questions. Give me an example of an open-ended question.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? What's going on today? Why are you here? Yeah. How has your health been? Give me an example of a closed-ended question.
Do you feel pain?
Okay. Do you feel pain, yes or no? Yeah. Anytime you give a patient choices or options in a question, you're asking a closed-ended question. So for the patient-centric part of the interview, you want to do open-ended questions. You also want to portray what we call empathy but not sympathy. What's the difference? Okay. Yeah, empathy is the ability to imagine what they're going through, to kind of put yourself in their shoes. Gosh, that must be very hard for you. You know, that must be very sad. Or, well, that must make you feel happy. What you don't want to do is sympathy, where you hurt with them, which can come about one of two different ways. Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, don't pity them. On the other hand, you could have sympathy where you actually, you know, you ever see someone throw up and then someone else throws up because they saw the first person throw up? No. You don't want to do that with the patient. So if they're having abdominal pain, you don't want to, oh my gosh, I've got abdominal pain too. You don't want to do that. Okay. So you need to be able to, I understand what you're going through, I can imagine what it's like, but I'm not there with you. You know, I don't hurt myself. So that's the idea. Then we have what we call the provider-centric. Now, you've given the patient a chance to talk, and now using what they said as a starting point, you're going to ask specific questions, and typically more closed-ended questions, to make sure you get the information you need to treat the patient properly. So if the patient comes in and they say, you know, I've had this pain, then you're going to ask more specific questions about that pain. If they come in and they say, you know, I've had this headache, then you're going to ask more specific questions about the headache. In the interviewer-centric portion, be careful about the use of silence. There's two kinds of people in the world. One type of person, you ask them a question and they have to stop and think. And if you rush them, you're going to miss out on some good information. So you want to make sure that you use silence with those people to give them enough time to answer your questions appropriately. The other kind of person in the world is when you pause for a breath, they jump in and they don't give you the conversation back. So with those people, you have to use very little silence. So again, you have to use your discretion. Now, in terms of time, there's two things that you have to take into account. The first one is attention. You want, when I'm with the patient, I'm with you, you have all the time in the world. That's the illusion. You know, you really only have 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long it is. But you want them to think, their attention is fully on me. They're not thinking about other things. They're concentrating on taking care of me. But then at the same time, you want to make sure that you preserve your schedule and don't get so far behind you can't take care of your other patients. So those are the two things that we want to balance in regards to time. All right, now the stages of the interview. Start off with the introductory phase. So, who you are, what we're going to do. So we'll give you a little script, a little practice later on. But basically, my name is, I am A, I am going to, do you have any questions? And we also need to make sure we know who the patient is. So those are the basic four pieces of information. I am A, nursing student in this case, or your name, you're a nursing student, what you're going to do, do you have any questions? Then we have what we call the working phase. Patient-centric portion, and then the provider-centric portion. Then we have the conclusion. So in the conclusion, you want to provide closure. All right, I will come and check on you again in another 30 minutes. Here's the call bell. Call me if you need me. Or I'll see you again in 3 months. You know, whatever the appropriate closure is, you want to provide that, okay, we are done now. Your time is up. And here's when you can expect to see me again, or here's how you can get me to come back in. All right, so our introductory script. Hello, Mr. Whoever. You want to identify the patient. My name is, identify yourself. I am A, identify what you are. I am here too, and that's establishing your agenda. Do you have any questions? That's letting them establish their agenda. And then verify that they are who they say they are. How do we verify who they say they are in the hospital? So, wristband. If you're in an outpatient basis, then you have to go a little bit more on trust. Some clinics will have like a driver's license, copy of the driver's license, on their chart, so you can check and see if it looks like the person. But sometimes you really don't know that they are who they say they are. You just have to go on trust. All right, cultural considerations. What is culture? Oh, it is a complex pattern of shared meanings, behaviors, and beliefs that are learned and acquired by a group of people. Whew, that was fun. So, who here lives in South Florida? Oh, really? Okay. So, are South Florida people different from North Florida people? Are they different from people from Georgia? Okay, so there's some things in common that they have that makes up their culture. Now, within South Florida, do people from Miami, are they a little bit different than people from West Palm? Okay. The people in Miami, are the Cubans a little bit different than the Puerto Ricans? If you say so. Okay, so within a culture, you have even more subgroups. Do the guys in this class act differently than the girls in this class? We don't know yet. We've only been together for a few hours. But most likely they do. Okay, so as you get smaller and smaller groups, you know, you can have smaller and smaller cultures, but they're still part of the bigger culture of the class as a whole, of South Florida people as a whole. So the idea behind that is we call subcultures. Subcultures are divisions of a larger culture into smaller subcultures. Yeah. All right, now, characteristics. There's really a couple things that cultures have in common. First one is that they are learned from birth, transmitted through socialization and language. Now, you were not born into nursing school, so you had to enter as an adult. So the culture at large, you were born into. But the culture of being a nurse, you're going to get through socialization, which is part of what I'm doing here. I'm telling you, okay, nurses are like this. We dress professionally. We present competence, but we don't present
arrogance.
So I'm beginning to socialize you into how to act like a nurse. At the same time, we're learning specialized language that will help you to become a nurse. Cultures are adapted to specific situations in time. So the culture of nursing right now is very different than it was 20 years ago, and even more different than 100 years ago, because times have changed, situations have changed, our profession and our culture has changed. And they are dynamic because they do change over time and situation, and they're shared in common.